Well, good morning, gardeners. And we're supposed to get up to a beautiful day today. Not that every day isn't beautiful, but we're finally recovering from the freeze that we had to go through. The weather is supposed to be nicer. Supposed to be. We'll have to see what that looks like with the sun shining again. So what are we going to do? Well, we're hoping that if you're out and about today and you find resources for folks, we have people who have no water, no electricity, getting food is an issue. We're hoping that if you can find some of those resources, can you call KLBJ so we can pass those on to help people out? 512-836-0590. Maybe you know they're giving water away someplace that they hadn't been before. Maybe you know where someplace is giving out free food to some of the responders or just trying to help out the community. Pass that on to us, please. But if you're here about gardening, that's a good thing too. So what are we going to do about gardening? Well, we are hopefully as the days go on, all of those bent over plants, all those trees that don't seem to be growing up straight, the shrubs that are leaning, should start recovering. Warmer weather, sunshine. Really important, not covered by a layer of ice and or snow, and you're going to start seeing everything that looked horrid. It's going to take a few days. It's going to improve. It's just going to take a while for it to happen. So that's something that we want to consider. Do not panic. Don't panic. Douglas Adams fans, you know what I'm talking about. Don't panic. It's going to take, it could take as long as 30 days to determine whether or not the plants in the ground have made it. I've seen it take 90 days for one of my plants personally that I saw freeze to the ground, was sure it was dead, and 90 days later, I started to see shoots coming back on it. Patience is going to be the key. Really think you should place your priority in the category of check your trees first. Because falling branches are a bad thing. And they can fall and cause more damage to the tree. They can cause damage to your car if you are parked under it. They can cause damage to your house if the branch goes over your house. That should be what you should be focusing on first. And I hope if you find a broken branch, you can make that honest choice of recognizing, is it something you can fix? Because, you know, don't overreach. Physically or figuratively overreach. Some of those big branches can weigh hundreds of pounds, and you running out there going, well, I got a chainsaw, I can fix this. Please be very careful. You may be surprised that that branch is out to get you. And even if you are really careful, you can suddenly wind up with something very heavy falling from the sky and landing on you. That never goes over well. That's always a bad situation. So be careful out there, but go check those trees first. That's something that you can do and be productive. As for your plants, you need to be patient. So let's take a second. I got a text message, and this is a good one because we get this a lot. Is it better, for those of you who are composting, is it better to position your compost pile in the sun or the shade or half and half? Where's the best place? Your compost pile does not care about sunshine. One way or another, the biological reaction is what is occurring to heat that compost, not sunshine. You can have a compost pile reach 140 degrees in 0 degree weather. If you're doing it right, if you're following the process, you have the correct balance between carbon materials and nitrogen materials, you make sure you have the right amount of water, and you're turning it frequently so that it gets the oxygen it needs. The heat comes from a natural biological process, not from sunshine. So the focus should be on maintaining the compost pile correctly, not where you put it. Now, it should be convenient. If you have to walk 50 feet to get to your compost pile, you're not going to use it much. You're not going to turn it much. And a lot of the stuff you save in the kitchen, you're going to be, I got to walk out to the compost pile. Now, I just throw it in the trash. So don't forget how the convenience is an important feature in actually getting compost to turn into compost. Heavy sunlight can mean that the compost pile may dry out a little faster. But that's simple. You can add some water to it. But sunshine does not affect the compost pile in terms of making compost faster or slower or any of those things. If you have the correct ratio of materials, if you have the correct amount of water, if you put the effort in to turn it frequently, it will heat up regardless of where you put it. It will heat up regardless of the outside temperature, at least in Texas. Now, I suppose if we're in some of these places that are minus 70, that's a different story because the water in the compost pile probably is frozen solid. But here in Texas, it is not critical where the location of the pile is. So put it where it's convenient to you. You'll have quicker, better compost when the compost pile is closest to the door so you don't have to go so far to maintain the pile. But other than that, sunshine's not a factor in determining your compost pile. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're up against our first break. You can give me a call. The number is 512-836-0590. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Got a text message. And I understand this question. I really do. It's not the question. It's how we have to view things. You're going to see a lot of trees out there where the leaves are turning brown. We see all the time plants where a leaf turns brown. It doesn't mean they're dying. No leaf lasts forever on a plant. None. They are slowly replaced. The term is called senescence. A leaf basically has a defined lifetime. And whether it's that leaves time, or whether we've had weather conditions that are bad, the appearance of a brown leaf on a plant is not a sign of death. I get this call a lot, and I'm not sure how better to answer it. There are trees out there that a lot of leaves froze. I have a Monterey oak that's almost naked now. And all its leaves turn completely brown. Doesn't mean the tree's dying. It simply means that it's going to drop its leaves, and in the spring, we'll get another run of leaves coming back on the tree. Well, what if we don't? Well, you're not going to know for a while. If we go out and look at a plant and there's a brown leaf on the plant and we immediately go, well, that plant's dying, I'm going to pull it out. We're never going to have anything in our landscape. Patience, folks, and understand plants naturally, correctly, normally will toss off leaves. for no reason to you, but the plant understands what's going on, and that leaf is no longer being beneficial to the plant. The plant recognizes and goes, thanks, I appreciate what you did for me, but you're not helping me anymore, so sorry, I don't need you. And the leaf falls, or turns brown, turns ugly, crimples up, whatever. We really have to get out of this idea, something doesn't look right with the plant, that default means it's dying. I mean, we don't go around, thankfully, and we see somebody starts to get gray hair and go, oh, well, you're going to be dying. No, that's just a change in appearance. It is a great clue that we should observe, but it's not a default position that a brown leaf means plant's dying. So I hope we can, I'm not even sure how to put it. We really need to be calmer. Yeah, it's good. We need to calm down in what we see in our garden. Things might look bad. Take a deep breath. Let's understand what's going on before we leap to the conclusion that, oh, this plant is dead. Now, to be honest with you, there are plants where you're going to walk out, you're going to look at it and go, yeah, that plant's dying. But it's a small percentage compared to many of the things that we have in our environment. Now, another thing that we need to really consider that's very, very important, you can have a plant top kill. There is a whole host of plants. Herbaceous perennials is a good name for it. Esperanza, Pride of Barbados, Amelia, Mexican firebush. Many of these plants regularly freeze to the ground. They're supposed to. Once they've frosted, once all the top growth is dead, we cut that back, we get rid of it, we put it in our compost pile, and we wait till spring for them to come back. Well, what about a plant that's always green? Well, it can look pretty bad. And it can even lose a lot of leaves. We are going to see an incredible amount of ugly cactus and agaves. Sorry. That's the politest way we can put it. We put plants in our environment that can't handle this cold. That's kind of our mistake. But we only have this cold once every 25 years. I can go 24 years with that plant in my yard looking great, and I lose it. That gives me an opportunity to reconsider my landscape. I can always replace it with the same plant. But we cannot make a decision today. No matter what your plants look like, you have to give them an opportunity because so many of them will recover. Yes, there are bad and ugly leaves on it. So don't decide today. Because you may be removing a plant that if you left it alone in 30 days, you would see new leaves coming out of it. And you would be able to recognize that either I can let it grow and the old leaves will fall off and decompose and add to the soil. Or if I wait that 30 days and I see new growth, I can remove the ugly stuff. Or if I wait 30 days and it still turns into a black mob of mush, which some of our agaves and cactuses will do, I can be pretty sure it's not coming back and I can make the choice then. We can't have a week of the weather that we have, and the first minute we can head back outside, head out there with a shovel and start deciding, nah, we need to get rid of everything because it's all dead, because it's not all dead. Not your trees, not your agaves or cactuses, not your herbs like rosemary, though I've got a lavender plant that if it comes back, I'd be amazed. But I'm going to give it the time to do so. Please don't suddenly decide, nope, everything's dead, I'm pulling it all out, because you will disappoint yourself. You will create a ton of extra work for yourself. Your local nurseries will be thrilled because they'll be happy to sell you new plants. but we cannot decide on the health of the plant today for most of what we have in our landscape. We're going to have to give it at least a month. So be patient. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're coming up at the bottom of the hour. We'll take a break for the news. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is William. Good morning, William. What can I help you with?
Hello.
Yes, good morning.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I live in the Montopolis area, and I have a couple of orange trees on this property that I stay in. And they've been having oranges on them for like the last 2 months, but has this freeze done anything to halt the production of the oranges or the quality of the oranges?
Normally, this kind of cold weather would have frozen the fruit off of the plant. So I might go out there and look at those oranges and consider harvesting them, at least a couple, to go and see what the quality of the fruit is. If they've been damaged by the freeze, they're going to start rotting on the tree. So I would check a couple. And if the fruit is edible and decent quality, I might consider harvesting them all before they could rot on the tree. These kind of temperatures should have knocked them out. And we don't have an orange in Texas that is reliable to single-digit temperatures. So you may see over the next few weeks a lot of dead and damaged branches on those plants. You might want to keep an eye on them and see how their growth returns. Remember, all growth has to come above the graft. If it's coming from below the graft, that won't be an orange. And it's a fruit that's not very tasty. So go check your oranges. See if any of them are edible, if they're ready for harvest or not. Remember, the color of the fruit does not tell you whether it's ripe or not. You can have an orange with pure green skin on it, and it still be ripe and tasty and all that. So go check a few, and if they seem to be good, you may want to harvest them, because if they froze, if they were damaged, they're going to start slowly rotting and falling off and not be any good for you. So go look and see what they actually taste like for you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, William. Let's go to, this is Lee. Good morning, Lee. What can I help you with?
Yeah, I want to call about rosemary.
Yes?
I went to my local HGB, and they're out of rosemary, and I ate some rosemary for dinner, recipe I'm making. I'm in Cedar Park. There's a little shopping center here called 1890 Ranch. They have decorative rosemary hanging down. Is that the same rosemary I can use?
Almost all varieties of rosemary that you would see, whether they're in a garden bed, a pot, a hanging basket, that has that rosemary scent to it, almost every variety of those are culinary, meaning you could use them for food. Now, there is a plant that has a name called wild rosemary, and we really shouldn't see it around this part of the country. It's a plant that's found like in South Africa. It can really withstand some bad conditions. I'm not quite sure if that plant is one that you could use edibly, but you really shouldn't find it around here. So if the plant they have in the basket, you can smell it, it has that really common rosemary scent to it, almost all the rosemaries can be used culinarily. So it should be okay to use if you want to cook with it.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Hey, do you have time for one more question?
Yes, sir.
My daughter Stephanie told me it's supposed to rain this weekend. I know we just had snow covered. Can I fertilize? Get ready for this rain coming in.
If you're using an organic fertilizer, there should be absolutely no issue with it. If you're using what they call a conventional fertilizer, when you put it out, it tends to be one that dissolves really easily. So if you put it out right before a rain and it rains, a lot of it may get washed away. The organic fertilizer doesn't do that. So take that into consideration. But you should be okay putting a fertilizer out now. You're kind of optimistic on getting rain in the future. Right now they're saying it's only a 20% chance.
Oh, my daughter Stephanie told me it's like supposed to be 70%.
Well, I'm looking at the weather reports right now, and they aren't that optimistic yet.
Okay, well then, I'm just going to wait then.
Yeah, you can wait to the other side of it.
Right. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Let's go to, this is Bobby. Good morning, Bobby. What can I help you with?
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, I'm calling about sago palm. I had one with many pods or pups, I guess, and it was really beautiful, and it's now brown and droopy and all that. So I guess the question is, when do I cut off the branches? And also I was wondering, related question, if I could transplant the pods or pups or whatever they call them. Is that possible, and how do I do that?
I'm going to do the second part of your question first. The pups will form at the base, or with a sago, it produces seeds. So they could actually be starting in places around the plant, but not connected to the plant. Dig them up carefully. They don't have a lot of roots. And place them in a good cactus mix soil, just to give them a little time to get a start. Don't water them. They shouldn't need water when you lift them to transplant them. If it's a pup, it's connected to the parent. So you want a good sharp knife, a bread knife, a machete sometimes will work, and you're going to put it between the pup and the parent. It kind of carefully saw your way down until you can lift the pup up. That pup, same thing. Put it in well-drained soil. You shouldn't need to water it. Just give it a couple of cups of soil to start in there to keep it going. And you can leave them outside if it's not going to freeze. And if you give them some time, they'll set some better roots, and then you can plant them where you want. Now, as for your first question, I might not, if you've got branches that you really see that are for sure, yeah, them are dead. They're not going to come back. You can trim those off now. We got cold enough for sagos that it may have killed it. But I wouldn't pull it out of the ground now. You can trim off the dead, and like I said, hang on at least a month to see if you get new green coming up. Now, your sago's going to look really bad for a while until it replaces those leaves. But you don't know if it killed it or not, and you won't know for quite a while. But if you want to clean it up now, yes, that's okay to do.
Okay. Thank you for that. And then my agaves also look pretty droopy and sad, shabby-looking things, but the center seemed to be okay, like it pops out like a big leaf sticking up directly. Mm-hmm. But then the other branches all are sad or looking and shabby looking. So,
well, and are that's they, a good they, sign. That center crown, that core where that green is coming up, if that is staying firm, if you can safely grab it and lightly wiggle it around and it feels like it's really still attached well to the plant, that's a pretty good sign that you're going to get new growth from there to replace the leaves that are looking bad. You can trim that ugly off, too, if you want. But you're going to have to give those plants some time to see if that center crown is going to produce more growth for you.
Okay.
If it is, the plant should completely recover. It's just going to look bad until it can replace those leaves. So little patience yet. Little warm weather will help get it going. I might give it a little time before I even go out there to remove some of those leaves, because you want to be careful pulling those off or cutting those off. You want to give that crown an opportunity to show you that, hey, I'm okay. I'm going to put on some new leaves for you. So a little patience will help. But the fact that that center crown is still firm and showing you green, that's a great sign. That's a positive that it should come back from this cold.
Great, great. So same applies to probably the roses around as well. I see the leaves
roses
are folded and such. Just give them a chance to come back, and then whatever is dead, cut it off. Otherwise, it may come back.
Right. And our roses, unless you have a rose that's a real specialty and it's really unique, not one that you might get here in Texas, all our roses should recover from this. If they've been in the ground any period of time to establish some roots, most of the roses we grow here, you could pick up and you could grow in Wisconsin in the snow. They just go dormant. This isn't the greatest for the roses, but this really should be no big deal. Give them some time, and then when they start to leaf out again, just cut off the dead and ugly. But you need to give them an opportunity to start their growth. Bobby, we're up against a break. Thanks for the call, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go to the phone. This is Nick. Morning, Nick. What can I help you with?
Yeah, good morning. I have a loblolly pine. I guess it's about 30 feet tall. Planted it maybe 10, 15 years ago. In assessing the damage that this storm caused, I noticed that there's these rows of circles, like, drilled into the bark all the way around the tree for, you know, a good 7-8 feet.
Do these look like a perforation line, or are they randomly placed throughout the trunk?
No, it actually looks rather symmetrical, like something's dug in right down to the cambium layer, I guess you would say.
You got woodpeckers.
I do indeed have woodpeckers, yes, sir.
They made that mark. And while we would not normally want to drill holes into a tree because they can be entry points for disease and pests, that woodpecker is actually cleaning it up for you. It's after those little bugs you wouldn't want. They are not causing enough damage to the tree to harm it. And the addition of that wildlife, that's actually benefiting the tree because they're pulling off insects that might otherwise damage the tree. Plus, it's cool. Woodpeckers are, you know, they look cool. So that pattern is what gives it away. They tend to look like they're trying to perforate the tree, and it tends to be a pretty straight line. But I'm betting you just have woodpeckers hunting.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much, sir.
Thanks for the call, Nick. Yeah, that's a common one among our trees, folks. You see a line of dots. If they're in a line, more than likely it's a woodpecker. And we've got several different varieties of woodpeckers in Central Texas, so not a big problem. Let's go to, this is Jose. Good morning, Jose. What can I help you with?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, how you doing?
Little cold, but other than that, a lovely day.
Yep. Hey, I wondered if I could plant a mountain laurel and an orchid now, or if I should wait a little bit longer till it gets warmer.
The only issue I would present yourself with is, as this snow has melted, it's really soaked the ground, and there's a lot of moisture in the soil. So if you're stuck with that, as in, gee, this is the only time I have, digging the hole's probably going to be a real pain because it's so wet that any bit of clay is going to stick together. It's not going to be a nice consistency and things like that. But yes, you could plant those trees now. It would probably be better if you could wait a week so that that soil can dry out a little bit. But if this is when you have time to do it, sure, go ahead and do it.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure they weren't going to be harmed inside the pots if I did wait a week.
Oh, no, another week inside the containers wouldn't be an issue. You have to think about it. If you go to a nursery and they bring in a shipment of mountain laurels, they're going to stay in that container until they sell them all. It's not like they reach a date and go, well, we got to plant this somewhere. So long as you're still taking care of them in the container, if they need water, they get water and they're getting their sun, you have plenty of time You don't have to plant immediately.
Oh, okay. And crazily, I planted a cedar oak just before this freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's dead?
No, I don't. You're going to have to wait as this weather warms up. You should see on the branches new buds start to swell up, start to maybe even crack green for you. You just need to give it a little time. Think about it. If you planted that tree 5 years ago, it would have been in the ground through this weather and not have a problem. Just because you planted it now and it's young doesn't mean that it instantly froze. However, it is going to be a little bit petulant, and it's going to wait to show you that it's okay. So just give it some time. Nothing better for it right now than warmer weather and sunshine.
Okay. And then, yeah, because when I heard it was going to freeze, I raked up all the leaves and everything and put it all around the base to try to give it some protection.
And you did. That was a great idea. That helps a lot to keep the roots safe. So that's even more promising. We just need some sunshine for a while to overcome the cold, and I think you'll see that tree will pop right out.
Okay, sounds good. I appreciate your help.
Thanks for the call. we have to accept this a little bit. If I plant a delicate plant and we get really bad weather and it's only been in the ground a little while, I have a concern. It's possible that transplant shock, the bad weather, et cetera, doesn't give the plant a chance to start. If we are putting a plant in the ground, like a tree, that except for that time where it's still really young and we just put it in the ground and suddenly we get these ridiculous temperatures, normally that tree would have been out in that environment anyway, all by itself, still growing away. So we just got to hope that that young one is able to handle the weather. And if it would handle the weather, if it's been planted in that place for 5 years, it should be able to start for you as a brand new planting. Doing the things that Jose mentioned, like, hey, I piled leaves around the base to help keep that soil warm. So long as the ground didn't freeze solid, and even then some plants wouldn't be bothered by it. If the ground did not freeze solid, the plant has an excellent opportunity to come back from this kind of weather. Nothing cures this weather better than sunshine. Warm up a little bit, yeah, that helps. But that sun gets those plants to start producing leaves. And when they produce leaves, that wonderful chlorophyll starts working. We get photosynthesis. The plant starts establishing itself. We need some sun for a while. You will be very impressed with the plants you look at in your yard that you go, oh, my God, they look terrible. They're dying. They're just nasty. Sunshine cures a lot of ills. They're going to start coming back. You're going to start seeing the new growth on them. But you can't address it today. We're only 2 days away from being below zero for like a week. You got to give them time to catch their breath, to soak up some sun, just like we need to do once in a while. And you'll be impressed when they come back. Folks, this is Gardening Naturally. We're coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to take a break for the news. You can give me a call. The number is 512-836-0590, and we'll catch you on the other side of the news.